The Rick Smith Show, changing America for the better.
I'm breaking the rocks in the hot sun. I broke the law and the law won. I broke the law and the law won.
Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, thericksmithshow.com. So it appears that our Pennsylvania State Senate actually did something. Question is it good enough? Is it enough? Or is it just political bandages? They've passed Senate Bill 869, which is this asset forfeiture bill, something that I've complained about an awful lot over the years. I'm just not fond of the idea of our government's police departments seizing people's assets, even if they're not guilty, especially when they're not guilty. But here to talk a little bit about what the Pennsylvania State Senate did and what it means for all of us, I've asked Andy Hoover. He's the legislative director for the ACLU of Pennsylvania. Andy, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, Rick, it's always good to talk to you.
So something got done, I guess, right?
It depends upon your definition of something. So we have this bill, Senate Bill 869. It started out as an excellent reform bill. It required that a property owner had to be convicted of a crime before their property could be forfeited. It could be seized pre-conviction, but it couldn't be permanently forfeited until they were convicted. And it also sent the revenue generated from forfeiture to the same place that all other forms of public revenue go, to the overseeing jurisdiction's general fund, and the legislative body distributes it as part of the budgeting process. Good, solid reform, ending policing for profit and ending the forfeiture of property from people who are innocent. The bill doesn't do either of those things anymore. They nibbled around the edges, and they passed a bill that won't really have any measurable impact on civil asset forfeiture.
So why go through the dance of, if you're not going to stop it, if you're not going to do a better job, why do it?
Well, it's political theater. As you know, this issue has gotten a lot of attention the last 4 years or so. There's been media attention here in Pennsylvania and around the country. Advocates have been working on this quite a bit. There is litigation in front of the Pennsylvania Supreme Court right now about a senior citizen, a mother whose young adult son sold $100 worth of marijuana on her property, and the DA took her house. And so the political theater here is for legislators and the DAs to give the appearance that they've done something about forfeiture without actually impacting the practice.
I mean, because that's a huge thing. I mean, I've got kids, and you know, down the road, if something were to happen, I think I'd be flipping mad because I had nothing to do with it. Why would it? Why would it affect the mother if the kid did it? I'm a little confused on that.
Yeah, I mean, a little bit of background for folks who aren't as familiar with the process. So, civil asset forfeiture is a practice in law where the government, through law enforcement, makes a claim that property is connected to crime. Either it's the profit of crime or it was used to facilitate a crime. They then send that property into forfeiture proceedings in civil court, so it gets completely separated from any underlying criminal proceedings. So, for example, the parents, there are two of those cases right now in Philadelphia, both around houses. Young adult kids sell a small amount of drugs on the property, and the government claims that that property was a place of criminal activity, therefore they could forfeit it. This bill doesn't change that at all. This bill, the supporters would say, well, we're raising the evidentiary standard, meaning that the burden is heavier on the government than it is currently, which is technically true. But what they fail to tell you is the burden is first on the property owner. When a property owner goes to court, they have to prove that they are the property owner and that they acquired the property legally. Now, that might be easy with a house. We have layers of documents for our homes. But how do I prove that the cash that some cop took out of my pocket is mine and I acquired it legally?
It's a good question. So the other side of this would be, well, what should this look like if, because I'm assuming this is part of the war on drugs, and I know you don't want drug kingpins buying mansions and all kinds of stuff.
Sure.
What should this look like?
Well, we believe that it should be part of the criminal proceeding. We think that's the fairest way to do this. I mean, that's just the fundamental underpinning of our system. When the government is prohibited from diminishing a person's liberty until they have met their burden in court to show that they did something wrong. So if the government can show that beyond a reasonable doubt that you committed a crime, then fine. Make forfeiture part of the sentencing. If the government can't reach that burden, then the government has no right to take a person's property. And the advantage of tying it to the criminal proceeding not only guarantees conviction before forfeiture, but it also ensures that the person has counsel.
Right.
In civil court, there's no right to counsel, but there is in criminal court.
And no also, right to due process, right.
Right, exactly. It also ensures the person has noticed that their property is in forfeiture, which doesn't always happen under current law.
Yeah, I mean, because that separation, you're right. Because you have no right to counsel, you know, in civil court. There's no right to attorney. There's none of that stuff. So basically, you can just get steamrolled.
Yeah, and I'll give you a quick example of what that looks like. You know, in Philadelphia, we did some research over a 2-year period, found that half of cash forfeiture cases were for amounts below $190. So if you hire a lawyer, you're going to spend that amount in the first half hour that the lawyer works for you.
Right.
So people just default. They don't challenge it.
Yeah. And again, this is a nice way of, you know, somebody's got, you know, a joint in their pocket. Let's just take all their stuff. They're not going to complain.
Right.
It's a good scheme.
That's exactly it. And that's why the DAs have motivation to get people off their back about this issue while not actually impacting the process, because we found that, you know, there are DAs who this is 7 to 10% of their budget. You know, this is not chump change.
Yeah, we can't raise taxes on the wealthy, but we can steal from poor people. Are there any studies done on who is targeted by this asset forfeiture? I mean, is this getting the big kingpins? I mean, are we using this to go after Tony Montana and the big drug lords and all that? Or is this just against the little guy?
No, in Pennsylvania anyway, it's against the little guy. We did a series of reports on 3 different counties, Philadelphia, Montgomery, and Cumberland, and those reports found that forfeiture in cash cases was being done for small amounts of money, a few hundred bucks, if that. And we also found in Philadelphia that the neighborhoods where it was being used the most were the poorest neighborhoods. And finally, in all 3 counties, we saw racial disparities. Cumberland County is 3% African American, 36% of forfeiture cases involve African Americans.
Wow.
Montgomery County, 9% black, 51% of forfeiture cases involve black people.
Wow. And again, as you pointed out, very small amounts. So the question then becomes, you know, is this solely a drug thing? Are there other ways you can have your assets forfeited? Or is it just the war on drug stuff?
It is mostly because of the war on drugs. It's been a while since I heard the number. I believe it's about 90% of forfeiture is around controlled substances. There are some other offenses that can lead to forfeiture, human trafficking, terrorism. But for the most part, this is a drug issue.
So what if we were to legalize marijuana in this state? I mean, you know, like Colorado has done. What if that were to, or decriminalize it? Would this start to go away?
To some extent, you know, decriminalization, you still have that underground market, and decrim usually looks like not charging people who possess a small amount, but what about transactions? You know, that could still be a criminal charge. Full legalization obviously changes that. But of course, you still have other controlled substances where forfeiture would still be in play.
So now this passed the Senate, it's gone to the House. I'm assuming this is going to go right through the House because it is a... It is an election year, and you know, I got to be honest, the guy who did some electrical work in my house, he's dead set against asset forfeiture, and he's not even I don't think he's a drug dealer,
yeah.
But you know, it just seems to me this will slide right through.
We'll see. You know, there's a group of Republicans who In the House who this kind of stuff makes them crazy. There's actually a companion bill in the House that looks like the original version of the Senate bill. It was introduced by Representative Jim Cox, who's a Republican from Berks County, and he has an odd assembly of members, both from the right and the left, as co-sponsors. So it's not we're going to keep working it and see where the cards fall in the House and then go from there, and hopefully the governor agrees that this bill is unacceptable.
So right now, as this is, the Senate bill not acceptable. There might be something better.
That's what we're going to go for. And I'll give you a couple examples. The third in leadership in the House, Brian Cutler, is a co-sponsor. Russ Diamond, another Republican from Lebanon County, he's a co-sponsor. And so is Brian Sims, Center City, Philadelphia. Dan Frankel from the Squirrel Hill region of Pittsburgh, Democrat. So this is one of those issues that definitely crosses party lines.
Yeah, I mean, but it also it's a fundamental fairness issue. I mean, when you say that, the kid did something and mom loses the house, I think no matter where your political allegiance lies, that should not happen.
Absolutely. And that's what we found. Conservatives look at it kind of as a traditional property rights issue. Liberals, progressives see it more as a law enforcement tool to further hurt already marginalized people. And it's one of those issues that brings people together from both right and left.
And again, it's another one of those moments where I go, I don't want a profit-seeking law enforcement operation. I just don't, because this is what you end up with.
Right, exactly. I mean, there are so many ways in which that plays out. That's one of the things in the DOJ report about Ferguson, Missouri, where they found that people were getting ticky-tack violations that led to a way to generate revenue. And civil asset forfeiture is the same way. It generates revenue, particularly for the DAs.
Yeah, I mean, I hope it gets better. And if there's what can we do to make sure that this does get better?
There's going to be an effort in the House to either stop this or make it better. So I would definitely recommend folks contact their state representative and ask them to not support Senate Bill 869 without revisions. And also sign up for our email list at aclupa.org. I expect over the next few weeks we'll be sending out some email actions about this.
And as it continues down the road, we'd love to have you again to talk about this and help us wade through it all.
Sounds good. Thanks, Rick.
Andy, appreciate the time, man. Andy Hoover, Legislative Director for the ACLU of Pennsylvania. Again, you want to check out their website. We've got a link at thericksmithshow.com of how you can get more information. Again, this is one of those issues to me that we've talked about often on the program over the years that is just kind of like theft. It's like local district attorneys going, hey, I can line the pockets. I can make up a little bit of money from where we've lost on the tax cuts that we've given out. This is a good deal. It's a good deal. It's a good way to rip people off. Yeah, kind of makes you wonder. And again, the idea of having a for-profit law enforcement arm should scare everyone. I mean, stop and think about the number of tickets you get just because you believe that the state police have a quota. Now, imagine having a quota of how much of somebody's property you got to bring in. Scary, scary stuff. Going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk with Pete Dominic from Stand Up with Pete on XM. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people on the talk.